You are listening to The Scroll, an audiobook about Ecclesiastes written and read by Vance Neudorf. Chapter 8. The door opened and a face appeared in the shadows. It was Eli. "Ah, you are awake," he said. "How are you feeling, my friend? Benjamin told me you were not doing well and had to stay in the Sabbath. I hope it is not because you had to work so hard in my shop yesterday." Kohelet rose to his feet as Eli closed the door behind him. "No, no. I mostly stayed in the shade of your stall. This is just my age creeping up on me." "I saw you rubbing your chest and arms. You've been doing that a lot more lately." Eli held out a basket. "Maybe this will help make you feel better. My figs are all sold, but the new apples are crisp and sweet. There's also bread and cheese and a little wine." Kohelet took the basket from his hands and placed it on his desk. "You are a good friend, Eli. Come in and sit a while. Benjamin is out for the day." Eli sat on the corner of the bed. "I saw him briefly. He was looking for some bread for you when a woman came to find him. They talked very briefly and Benjamin was upset. You don't see that very often. He said he had to leave right away and asked if I could bring you something to eat." "Thank you, Eli. It is appreciated." Kohelet took an apple from the basket and polished it. "Did you see who was with him?" Eli shook his head. "Never seen her before. One of his people, I believe. Striking features." That had to be Dira. What had come to light now? "Well, I guess we'll have to wait until he returns." "I can only stay a short while," Eli said with an apologetic shrug. "I am meeting Reuben. He says he has a new proposition for me to consider." He stroked his beard. "I used to care a lot more about Reuben's fruit stand and how I could sell more than him, but those days are gone now. I might as well just let him take mine over. I have no son to pass it on to anyway." Kohelet bit his apple and nodded. Eli had lost much of his drive to succeed after his wife had suddenly died. Before that time, he always worked hard to make sure his fruit stand was the best in the market. His competition with Reuben was not mean-spirited, but it was all-consuming. Now Eli regretted spending that time with his work instead of with his wife. "Perhaps Reuben thinks I will be more receptive on a Sabbath. I don't think Reuben has ever observed a day of rest. Now there's a man that'll have a heart problem." "I was just writing about that when you came up." "Let me hear it. It's been a while since I've been able to listen to you teaching at the well." Kohelet picked up the scroll and read. "I noted that all energy and skill we pour into our work is motivated by the envy of our neighbors. This competition is as futile as racing the wind, but I also saw a fool who lazily folded his hands and ruined his life. I concluded that one handful with rest is better than two handfuls with toil and grasping for the wind." "That's Nabal," Eli said. "He thinks he will enjoy life by avoiding work and filling his time with relaxation. From watching him, it occurred to me that avoiding work is a difficult task. It seems to require more energy than the work itself." "That's a good point. But on the other hand, when a competitive person makes money, it only fuels his or her desire to grasp for even more. Look at Reuben. He has no wife or child to provide for, no business partner to be accountable to, and yet he works day and night to try to get ahead. I wrote about him as well. Listen. I witnessed a fitting example of a futile life under the sun. There was a man all alone with neither son nor brother, yet there was no end to his toil, and his eyes were never satisfied with his wealth. Too late in life he asked, 'For whom am I working so hard, and why am I denying myself enjoyment?' His solitary work was futile, a miserable task." Eli nodded. "I don't think he has asked himself that question. Perhaps I can help him. He comes to see me quite often to talk about the fruit business. In an odd way, I have become his business partner, for it has been his competition with me that has spurred him on. I may be his only friend, for I am the person he has real conversations with." "Maybe that's why he fails to understand about competing with you. People choose your stand not so much for the fruit, but because they get a chance to stand for a moment and chat. They are part of a community when they stop to see you." Eli nodded, but his eyes were sad. "That was more true when Sarah was alive. Her laugh and cheery smile brightened everyone's day. It's not as easy when you are alone. Did you write down that proverb too?" You are reading my mind. It's the next one. Two working together are better than one, for they both benefit from their labor. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but the person working alone has no one to assist him. When two share a blanket, they keep each other warm, but how can one keep warm alone? While one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and three will resist defeat. I would like to have a partner again, Eli said wistfully as he gazed out the window. I don't think Reuben will be the solution for you. Eli looked back to Kohelet. There is someone else. Someone I've been meaning to talk with you about. I have... The call of Eli's name came from down on the street, and Eli pushed himself from the bed. Reuben must be anxious. He has arrived early. I guess that's good for a sale. Kohelet followed him to the door. Don't sell your business. You need something for your old age, and people enjoy chatting with you. You are an important part of our community. Eli opened the door and looked back. I might keep it a bit longer. Reuben is getting more of the fruit business these days, and that actually makes my life a little easier. He paused. Perhaps I will stay in business and take Nabal on as my apprentice. Eli grinned as he shut the door behind him. Kohelet chuckled as he returned to his desk. Sarah may be gone, but Eli's wit and humor were as sharp as ever. He was fortunate to have Eli as a friend. If he had not lost his job in the library, he would never have met Eli and Esther and the other friends he now had in the market. He, too, would have ended his life old and alone with only his work to hold on to. Even before Benjamin had become his assistant in the library, Kohelet had preferred to work by himself. And when Kohelet had first moved into the apartment, Benjamin had tried to maintain the slave-master distance and had moved from the bed to a straw pallet on the floor. In a climate with cool nights, it did not take long for him to see that sharing the bed made much more sense. It kept both of them warm at night and away from the vermin that searched the darkness for something to chew on. Benjamin was a man who loved wisdom literature and also seemed to be naturally wise. Even in his younger days, he had possessed a bearing that set him apart from the others. He was the one Kohelet thought of when he taught the youth who were wiser than their peers. Kohelet dipped his pen into the inkpot and wrote some more. They say a wise youth makes a better leader than a foolish old king who no longer listens to counsel. Even though the youth was born in poverty and came from the prison to the palace, everyone followed the youth instead of the king. A great crowd praised the youth, but later they were no longer pleased with that young man as their leader. Pursuing fame is as futile as running after the wind. Here was another cycle, as constant as the rivers flowing to the sea and coming back as rain. People would clamor for a new leader and claim that peace and prosperity would finally come to all. Yet over time, the chasm between leaders and people would widen, and the people would start grumbling and looking for someone new to set them free from the leader they had been so pleased with earlier. Truly, people were incapable of learning from the past. Kohelet put his pen down and gazed out the window. There was no point in trying to guess what would happen. Time and chance would come to all who lived under the sun. He could sit here and waste the entire day running through every possible outcome in his mind, but what was the point? Even the wisest person alive had to eventually wait for things to unfold. Kohelet looked at the apples in Eli's basket. Even in the midst of the darkest times, you could still enjoy the good things that life brought your way. He polished one and took a bite, savoring the sweet tang of its crisp flesh. Next to a fig, a good apple was one of his favorite fruits. A songbird trilled out in the marketplace. It was Simca's familiar tune. Kohelet pushed to his feet and looked out the window. He could hear the little bird, but where was she? He wished his fading eyesight was better. Across the way, a flutter of wings caught his eye. Simca was across the market on the ledge of Caleb's window, and there was a box-like contraption right in front of her. Simca was about to enter Caleb's trap. You have been listening to The Scroll, Chapter 8, a story of the writing of the book we now refer to as Ecclesiastes. You can discover more about Kohelet's writings at artofwork.ca. Thank you for listening.